you once again in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a program based upon what the Bible teaches. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ want to come into your home today once again with a program that will focus truly upon what God's Word teaches. You know, this broadcast has you and your entire family in mind. It can be looked upon as a religious service, not as a substitution for church attendance, but by the use of the word service, we really mean a religious assistant, something that can help you to know more about God's Word. We do not want this program to be a substitution for church attendance because the book teaches that disciples are to come together upon the first day of the week to break bread in Acts 20 and 7. And Paul reminded the Hebrew brethren in Hebrews 10 and 25, in Hebrews 10 and 25, not to forsake the assembling yourselves together as the manner of some is. So the point is that we come to your home with that which we trust can be of benefit to each member of your family. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer on the broadcast today before we get into the message. Let us pray. Our Father, we offer unto you the thoughts of our heart and lives, truly realizing that thou art God and doth rule in the affairs of men. And as we pray, may nations of the world know this, not alone the leaders of our great country, but also the leaders throughout the world, knowing that thou truly art God, and thy word is truly the power of God unto salvation. We ask thee to be with the sick and with those who mourn, and be with those who make this broadcast possible, that it may be aired out throughout this area, that people may hear, believe, and obey. Strengthen those who are following thee faithfully, that they may not grow weary in well-doing, but press on to the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Now be with us in our proclamation today as we go to the words of Jesus, that they may be a spiritual stimulant for the souls and lives of each of us. This is our humble prayer we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, we are dealing with great sermons of the Bible, and we've talked about Peter at Pentecost on the broadcast last week. We also have dealt with Stephen in Jerusalem and his wonderful defense, as recorded in Acts the 7th chapter, and now we want to look at the 5th chapter of Matthew. We're going to deal for a period of time with the sermon that Christ offered, known as the Sermon on the Mount. While you're finding the place, I'm going to read in your hearing the opening part of this sermon that does follow through from the 5th to the 6th and to the 7th chapters of Matthew. And we trust that you will take time during the week that is now ahead to read carefully the 3 chapters that are found in Matthew. Well, here's the way it begins. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he says, Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The first 12 verses of the momentous 5th chapter of Matthew. Now in the so-called Beatitudes that we have read in your hearing, I think you'll notice in every case not alone is blessed used, but also it indicates that there is something in the life of a person in which that individual is either recognizing God or seeing his need for God. Like the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Those who mourn, they're going to be comforted. Those who show meekness shall inherit the earth. And those who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled, and so on. And I do want to say that when we talk about people hungering and thirsting after righteousness, I find this to be something that's very prominent in the world today. So this teaching is something that can be applied to the lives of people in this 20th century. You know, that's a wonderful thing about the Word of God, to realize that not alone does it give us both sides of the picture, showing the righteousness in the life of a person and also his or her shortcomings, but it shows the solution that God has for every problem that faces mortal man in this life. And that's one thing we have in mind in this broadcast. We believe that we have the greatest teaching in the world, and we're offering it to you. We trust that you will drink in it in deeply. Drink it into your life, into your heart. And if you indeed have questions that are bothering you, if you have problems that are bothering you, feel free to let the Bible give you the answer, the solution to the problem, the answer to the question. And we stand ready as your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ to help you in any way we possibly can. Now, I can't go into all the facets of this talk, but I do want to say that in this fifth chapter, we have some of the greatest teaching that you'll find any place in the entire Bible. I want to go over to verse 44 now, where Jesus is entering into a true challenge in the life of each of his believers. And I believe this principle is just as true today on this side of the cross as it was during the personal ministry of Jesus. You know, one time I delivered a sermon that I called Four Stepping Stones to Christian Success. And I based it on verse 44, and I want to give it to you on the broadcast this morning as an excerpt from this wonderful sermon that was preached by Jesus. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You talk about Christianity being a full-time job. If you can learn to love your enemies, if you can learn to bless them that curse you, if you can learn to do good to them that hate you, and if you can learn to pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, you're going to be growing up in the Lord. That's going to be a full-time job. Now, you see, you can't do this alone, and the reason I've selected this verse is because time and time again there are people who go to this and say, in our present day, how is it possible for us as humans that are subject to mistake to do this? Well, in the first place, if we admit that we're human, if we admit that we're subject to mistake, then we've also admitted that we need help. And that's what the Bible's for. You see, it's a light to our pathway. It's a lamp to the walk that we're taking in life. Back in the Old Testament, the teaching was, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple or to the unlearned. And that's exactly what the Bible has in mind. So the point is that we know that we need the Word of God, that we need help. And this is a thing that's being missed a lot of times in religion today. People talk about Jesus' great life. They talk about the great things that he did. They talk about the great things that he accomplished. But a lot of times they do not tell us how we can meet those knotty problems and their real hard knots, those knotty problems that face us in life. Now, this looks like it's impossible, doesn't it, to love your enemies? Especially when someone comes up to me and says, well, you know, if I have any enemies at all, they're enemies of Christ as well. Maybe they're an enemy because I'm trying to live the Christian life and I don't do what they do. And this becomes a perplexing problem. I'm not trying to minimize it on the broadcast today, but I'm simply saying that there is a way that we can love our enemies. Let's say that your enemies are opposers of Jesus. Now, how would he handle this situation? He'd not alone talk about it, but he'd do something about it. You know, it's like a problem that I was faced with some time ago. A lady came to me and she said, you know, there's just a person that I just can't get along with at all. This person has become my enemy. We just can't get along at all. And she said, what should I do about it? And I said, well, the first thing to do is to pray about it. And the first thing to do is to also realize that when you pray, try to follow it up. Show forth the love of Jesus Christ for this person. I could see that this was going against the grain. But you know, if you look at a person that would be looked upon as an enemy, you realize how God looks at that individual. Now, let's say that the person is opposing God as well as you. The Lord doesn't appreciate that. But the Lord knows that that person has a soul. And he wants to see that soul saved. You remember what the book says in 2 Peter 3 and 9? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. So let's say this person that's an enemy would curse you. Let's say that he would indicate hate toward you, and he'd persecute you. He'd do everything he could against you. What's the book say to do? It says to love him. Don't love his deeds. Don't love his conduct. Don't condone that. But pray for his soul, that he might see things differently. Well, someone says, I just don't think that'd do any good. See, there's a prayer in which you're doubting. You see, love is stronger than hate. God's grace is stronger than sin. So the hate that this person may have for you, the enemy that he is, God's got something stronger than that. And I'm trying to say on this broadcast today that you can have something stronger in your life than the strength of him being an enemy, the strength of that person's cursing, the strength of that person's hating, and the strength of his persecution. And I believe this is a thing that we find in life. Remember, we've been talking on this broadcast about the attitude of Jesus, how at the very hour in which they were crucifying him, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, you know as well as I do that Christ wasn't trying to uphold the conduct of these people. He opposed them in life. He opposed their teaching. But there's one thing that must be kept in mind. Jesus realized the dignity of the individual. And there's a principle that I've been trying to get over to the minds of people for a long time, and I'm not using myself as an example, as a criteria on the broadcast today, but I'm thinking about the Word of God. We as Christians must have Christian courtesy in our life. I don't care who the person is, what his or her attitude may be toward you or me. We must treat that person with Christian courtesy. So you see, if you pray for the person that's your enemy, using this illustration, that God will help them, that their attitude will be different, and then if you try to the very best of your ability to set the right example before that person, don't irritate the person. Don't do those things that will cultivate this enmity, but do everything that you can to set the right example. And ask that the Lord will bless this person, that he do the right thing, that he may have good, not bad. I'll give you an illustration of what I mean. I was in the home of a man in the Ozarks of Missouri some years ago, and he really had a problem with another person in the community. And something happened to this person, and he was telling me about it. And he said, "Well, you know, it really served him right." Then he stopped short, and he said, "I shouldn't have said that." He said, "The book teaches that vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord." He said, "I don't want anything bad to happen to that person." You know, that's true. Haven't you heard people who say, "Well, it just serves him right"? And maybe it's a bad thing that came on that person. You know, that isn't what we want to happen to us. And we're to do unto others as they would treat us, as we want to be treated. Don't just look at it from the standpoint that I'm going to get even with him. So you see, this is really telling us to walk the second mile. But now notice what Jesus had in store when he said this. After he said to pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, why do you do this? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now listen to God. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Now if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Don't the publicans do the same? And they were looked upon as sinners. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect. Let your life be complete. Go to the ultimate to serve the Lord. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I know that we can't attain to the degree of perfection and glory that God has, but we can see what God is doing. And we can try to make ourselves as much like God as we possibly can. Let's climb that ladder till we reach not alone brotherly kindness, but also charity. So here's a wonderful sermon. We just were able to finish part of it, and we didn't touch upon all the points then. Be with us next week, and we'll continue this on, the Lord willing, the Sermon on the Mount. But do keep in mind, your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ have brought you this broadcast into your family circle. Why don't you meet with them this week? Why don't you tell your friends and neighbors about this broadcast and be with us for the next broadcast as we deal once again with sermons of the Bible?